It's a great day on the JoeBucksFan.com radio network, where you get all things Bucks in your face with a voice here on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz alongside Lee DeCamper, and here with former Buccaneers defensive end Steve White, author of the Bull Rush column, the Passing on the Game blog. You got everything going. And, you know, we're getting in deep today, as deep as we can with the newest Buccaneer. It's not exactly $1 million signing, or well, maybe his $1 million that we have tied up this year in Reggie Brown, the Eagles wide receiver. But we're going to try to find out all we can about Mr. Brown coming into town. We've got joining us tonight Les Bowen, Philadelphia Inquirer, Eagles beat writer, coming on in to tell us everything about Reggie Brown. Welcome, Les.
Hey, guys, how are you? I am the Daily News, Inquirer, but that's all right.
Oh, man, that's horrendous. Did you ever work for the Inquirer?
Nope, but we have the same website, which is probably confusing to a lot of people.
Well, my bad. Slap me in the head.
Right.
I apologize. Yeah, we worked. Stop hitting me here. Ah, jeez. Anyway, well,
not a problem.
It's all good. Hey, Les. First thing I was going to ask you. I read your reports and other reports, and it baffles me that guys in the media in Philly don't really have an answer as to what happened to Reggie Brown and why he sort of fell from grace. And how could it be mystifying when the guy played there all those years? What happened?
Well, from my perspective, Reggie had a tremendous rookie year. He was a second-round pick, 35th overall in 2005. That was a year the Eagles were coming off the Super Bowl, and things kind of fell apart. Terrell Owens worked his way off the team in his own inimitable fashion. Other guys got hurt. Todd Pinkston suffered what turned out to be a career-ending Achilles injury. The opportunity opened up for Reggie Brown. He caught 43 passes, which isn't a huge number, but at the time for the Eagles, it was a franchise rookie record. The Eagles had not been blessed with a number of mercurial, superstar wide receivers over the years. So, yeah, he looked really good. And the next year he caught a few more balls and caught 8 touchdown passes. And down the stretch, when Jeff Garcia was quarterbacking the Eagles to the playoffs with Donovan McNabb injured, Reggie was really his main guy. And they had a tremendous chemistry and connection. The playoffs, Reggie was definitely the Eagles' top receiver. But then after that, things just sort of, one thing that happened was he got a huge contract extension. He had 3.5 years left on his rookie deal, and the Eagles, who really like to lock up their young players for as long as they can if they think they're good, came to him with an extension, not a revision, that basically took him through 2014. So he was signed to a 9-year contract, basically. And I think he kind of saw some things drop off from Reggie's end, and you saw maybe Donovan McNabb not able to reestablish the kind of chemistry with Reggie that Garcia had in 2006. And then he had some injuries, and they drafted DeSean Jackson, and they drafted Jeremy Maclin, and he just kind of, and then last year, I think it would have been a fascinating story for Sports Illustrated or somebody like that. Basically, he was on the Eagles because they couldn't afford to cut him. It would have been like a $6 million cap hit to cut or trade him. So guys were getting traded and cut that they liked better than Reggie, but he was like the man without a country. He couldn't, he was on the roster come hell or high water. They cut Hank Baskett, whom they liked. They cut Danny Amendola, who went to St. Louis and had a good year as a returner. They traded Brandon Gibson to the Rams. All these guys, they had, more hopes for than they had for Reggie at that point, but they just couldn't do anything with him. Now the cap is gone, and so is Reggie, and he's down with you guys.
Les, hi. This is Lee DeCamper. First, thanks for joining us, and I imagine this is a time of the year that you're really bitter at your cohorts that cover the Phillies, come down to Clearwater and get
out. A wonderful place too. I think that's the best spring training site there is. I really do.
Hard to beat. It's really good. I read your article. I believe it was yesterday morning in Philly.com. And yes, I'm aware that you work for the Daily News, but you inferred in your article, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not trying to lead you down a wrong path, but you kind of inferred that, I don't know, maybe there wasn't chemistry between McNabb and Brown, you didn't write this, of course, but I'm just asking, do you think there was friction between the two, or perhaps that McNabb just didn't care for the guy, or maybe there was something going on behind the scenes that, you know, I think to use your exact phrase was read the tea leaves if you wish.
Yeah, friction might be too strong a word. Like I said, he hit it off great with Jeff Garcia. They seem to really have that instinctive feel that a receiver and quarterback have. For whatever reason, Reggie and McNabb never really developed that. And certainly Donovan has never said anything against the guy. He's always talked about how hard he works and all this. But I just didn't get the feeling they were close friends. Donovan likes to bring his receivers out to Arizona where he lives before training camp every year, usually in June, right after the OTAs. And, you know, run routes and, cook hot dogs,
Sweat.
And Reggie kind of never really got into that. I don't think that was Reggie's. Reggie would just as soon be on his own, And I don't know. I mean, the reason I use the reading tea leaves metaphor is it really is kind of, it's not like there's a hard and fast objective truth there. More of a feeling, that these two guys just never quite meshed that well, and that was part of the problem. I don't really, and I'll tell you one thing with Reggie, he's a very laid-back guy, for better or worse. I mean, he's a very nice person, but, Donovan has a strong arm but is not incredibly accurate. He doesn't, he throws a tougher ball than Jeff Garcia throws to rein in sometimes. Mm. Sometimes it's behind you, sometimes it's over you. And Reggie kind of watched some of those go by from time to time.
Alligator
seemed
arms.
Like, whereas other guys might have like laid out, or done something. Reggie was kind of like, oh, was that to me? Some of that goes a long way with a quarterback, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, Liz, it's Steve White. And, I played in the league for 7 years, and, I've seen situations where a guy maybe peaks early in his career and then peters out, goes somewhere else, and then he kind of restarts his career. And one of the things that I always notice about those guys is that the guys who can do that generally realize that, hey, I'm not really performing, so I better start doing a few more things than I'm used to doing. Like playing on special teams, like showing up early, maybe catching some punts, so I can add value to this team rather than just rest on their laurels as a second-round pick and feel like, I'm entitled to not play special teams or what have you. And I'm just wondering, what kind of guy, in your opinion, is Reggie Brown? Is he a guy that, in these last couple of years when he was struggling, not really being productive, was he a guy who showed up early, maybe caught a few punts, tried to show the team that there are other things he could do, more ways to show that he had value? Or was he a guy that was content? I'm sure he knew his contract situation too and knew that they couldn't cut him as well. Was he a guy that was just happy to only get 9 catches, or was he a guy that was constantly trying to find a way to get on the field?
He was more that last guy that you mentioned, but I really think he was kind of bitter about it. He never said anything really bad about the organization, but I think he was bitter about the way his role deteriorated, and I think he could very well be a different guy in Tampa. I mean, he's a smart guy, and this certainly ought to tell him, okay, here's your chance to start over. Here's your chance to have the career that you thought you were going to have 3 years ago. Maybe he will be that guy. Like I said, the only qualm I would really have is that he never struck me as a real intense person. He's more of a kind of cool, laid back, let things happen as they may sort of guy. And that's maybe not served him well in football too much. But Like, I really think this is a great chance for him. I think he's a very smooth, solid veteran receiver with a lot of talent, and I think he can, you know, be a good player in the league still. Certainly much more than he showed the last 2 years in Philadelphia.
We're talking with Les Bowen. What was that newspaper again? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Eagles beat writer here. I appreciate you joining us tonight. We're talking all things Reggie Brown, who, of course, was just traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was going to ask you, Les, as far as Brown goes, Brown the guy, I read a quote from Andy Reid a long time ago. I think it was before he signed that big fat contract extension, that he was one of the hardest working guys on the Eagles. I don't know if you remember that quote specifically.
Yeah, his first couple years, that was the case. You know, he really did a lot of extra work and was very, took his responsibilities very, very seriously. But like I said, he was a starter right away. He never really had to serve a long apprenticeship. He didn't do that much special teams, things like that. And when later in his career, when he got bumped back into that kind of role that he had never really served as a rookie, you know, I don't think he took it very well. He was not a good special teams player the last few years.
Now, Steve White was getting to this before. When you say he didn't take it very well, I mean, did he pout? Did he work extra hard? Did he? Because some guys, you know, they don't take it well, but it fires them up to keep going the extra mile. And I wasn't 100% clear. Was he just working and being quiet and seeing where the chips fell, or was he, was the attitude kind of an undercurrent, quiet undercurrent there that he wasn't the same guy he was in 06?
Well, I think it was kind of he just wasn't around us much. He wasn't in the locker room much when the reporters were there.
Sure,
you got the sense he did his work in practice, but he didn't do anything. You never heard anybody say, you know, boy, Reggie had an incredible week. We're going to have to find a way to get him in the lineup Sunday or anything like that. I think he served his time like he was in prison.
Nice.
And now he's out. And like I said, maybe that will be the catalyst that will get him going. But, definitely he did not come off as the most intense, most hardworking guy in the world after things went sour for him here. But, that's happened with guys before. And, you know, it's all about situations and opportunities and, you know, coaches sometimes, who knows. He's a really decent guy with who's very intelligent, and I think I expect him to make some sort of effort to reclaim his career in Tampa. I really do.
Real quick here, Les, we got to wrap you up here on the JoeBucksFan.com radio network. If somebody just came up to you, Joe Bucks fan came up to you and said, hey, did the Bucks get a steal or not?
I don't think they got a steal, but they certainly didn't pay too much. For a conditional sixth-round pick in 2011, what do you have to lose?
All right. Thanks a lot, Les.
Thanks, Les.